Both of you are part of a brilliant team responsible for bringing the world a super fun audio drama event every March. Now, Nicholas, can you just tell us a little bit about what it is and why should we want to go?
What it is? Well, it is the only international audio drama festival that takes place in the UK. And I first got involved 8 years ago. First being held at Herne Bay. And gradually over the years, since it moved from Herne Bay to Canterbury, which I think was a very good move, it has grown in scope, in diversity. It has branched from prizes in two categories, the long form and the short form, that also include a prize for young producers. Super. It has accompanying industry-related events. It has support from a few star prize givers, Tom Watt and Francis Barber. And I think a really important part of Canterbury's cultural calendar, yeah, and also the calendar for audio drama. And I think especially so over the last year or so, where audio drama, ironically, whilst we see the expansion of non-broadcast audio everywhere in the world, the audio drama, broadcast drama, particularly in the case of the BBC, coming under quite serious, possibly existential threat. I feel that the festival this year has a very particular resonance and importance, and it's a wonderful thing to be in part of, both in terms of its cultural value, but also in terms of being exposed to a wonderful diversity of storytelling techniques from around the world. And certainly for myself, as an audio drama writer, it has very much influenced the way that I've thought about how to tell stories.
Fantastic.
So that's my take on it. Melanie's might be different.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from you, Melanie. Let's hear from Melanie what it is and why people will want
people
to come.
People want to come. Well, what it is 5 days of listening to plays from 20 different countries in 23 languages, ranging in length from 1 minute to 60 minutes, and covering all kinds of different genres and storytelling approaches. Why you should come is because you will never have heard anything like it, and also it's good fun.
Yeah, I was absolutely privileged to be a part of it a few years ago, ran a workshop for younger folks, which was brilliant to see the encouragement and the different styles of workshop available to them as well. And with regards to the submission process, like, how would people find out more specifically if they wanted to? How can they find out about it?
Submissions open every year in the autumn around October. We have a website and we have social media and we even have a newsletter, and we tell the world through those mechanisms. It's free to submit. There are some categories and rules, but basically it's a very simple application form. You send us the audio, and then sometime in January we gather it all together, work out how many we can take, and let people know who's in and who sadly
sure.
isn't.
Fantastic.
This year we have an innovation though, which is because we've had so many good ones and we still only have 5 days. So we are putting more of them up online than we are actually listening to. And those, all of them will be eligible for the audience award.
Exciting. And that's something that people who even couldn't make the event could actually vote on, right? So they're able to listen.
Anybody can vote.
Which is exciting. And also the plethora of languages from across the world is wonderful.
Yeah.
Can you just talk about if someone wants to put in an entry in their own language and tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've got entries this year in 23 different languages. And that ranges from some quite small, as it were, African languages through to French, German and all the rest. And the way it works is that everybody has to send us an English translation, which people who are present in Canterbury will read on a Kindle and everybody else will read on a computer.
Superb.
And you follow it along, and it's surprisingly easy to do.
Yeah, I have done that. I had one of my former guests from Brazil was absolutely brilliant, creative, and listening to his works was just supreme. So, yeah, I think that sounds like a really exciting thing, because then also you're really listening in to the soundscapes and the rhythms and the melodies of all these different spoken languages. Exciting.
Yeah.
For people who are at the festival themselves, what kind of commitment is there to participate? Or is it that some people perhaps have slight anxiety and so on and just sort of sit back and meld?
There's no requirement on anyone to do anything unless you join the jury. The jury is open to anybody who can commit to being there in person all 5 days and listening to everything. But you are totally welcome to drop in for one play or stay for a day or whatever you want. Anybody can join in the jury discussion at the end of the day, which is just a review of what people have heard, or they can just listen to other people talking. There is absolutely no pressure on anybody to do anything.
Fantastic. And can you talk through what one of those 5 days might look like, just so that we've kind of got an idea of the shape of what to
do? Yeah. So we start 10-ish and we'll listen through till lunchtime. We have breaks for tea and cakes. Then there's an hour off for lunch where you can wander around Canterbury. We have a lovely venue now, which is within the cathedral precinct. Wow. So you're just off the high street, but also in a very calm and beautiful area, and can wander around that a bit.
The sound recorder in me worries about the bells.
Yes, the bells ring. The whole point about this festival is that it's like listening to the radio in your kitchen. So there are bells, there are clatterings, there are guided school groups staring at you through the window. There's all that, but we don't worry about it. And we listen out. So it's not a headphones listening experience. It's a listening round the wireless experience.
How lovely. It's almost like you're a campfire. Yeah. Together. Yeah. You're there. You're on your own, but you're all together.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Yes. It's a collective listening experience in glorious mono off instruments in the room. Start again at 2, finish at about 5, bit of a break, then the jury discussion, then everybody else goes home and the jury goes out for dinner.
That sounds really nice.
A couple of things. As a writer, the experience of people listening to your drama collectively, a kind of theatre of the mind, is very powerful. Mm. It's one of the things that really drew me to the idea of the festival when Mel and I first met. It's something which has never lost its power, the idea of collective listening, and the idea that we're kind of deliberately mono rather than we put emphasis more on the quality of the drama rather than the technology, I think, is really important. Also, we're trying to include other events that may be of interest to people who are interested in radio drama. And in particular, we're very excited to have Nick Briggs from Big Finish come down and do something. He's the voice of the Daleks, is he not?
He certainly is.
I think that's also good for us because we're always looking for ways to attract younger audiences and younger producers and directors and young people who want to make audio dramas. That's a really great addition to the calendar.
Fantastic.
Well, there's no doubt that people have said to us afterwards that it's been one of the sort of creative transformation experiences of their lives. You know, it's an opportunity to talk to people about radio drama. And it's people also say to us that it's one of the friendliest, if not the friendliest, amongst the European audio drama festivals. Okay. So, you know, people don't go there to criticise, they go there to discuss and support.
Brilliant.
and help people with, you know, talking through their creative issues and their technical issues to some extent. So it's and it's a wonderful opportunity to make connections with people from abroad.
Yeah, that's exciting. And for those people that perhaps are too far away and listening to this and thinking, I want to go, but I can't get to England, you've got an online option, right? Can you explain a little bit about how that works, please?
So the online option works in two ways. We have online listening in real time, so hosted online listening sessions by Zoom. People come in, they sit with others and they listen on Zoom. And there's a couple of hosts to keep the thing in order. Or it's available on demand. So at the end of the day, you can listen to any of the plays we've listened to that day in your own time. And they're just available off the website.
And is that a different price to going along, or how does that work?
It's a different experience because obviously if you go along in person, it's a collective listening. It's real people in real time and real coffee and real cakes. if you listen to the hosted sessions online, that's the next best option because you get a chance to talk to other people and see some other people and you know, engage a bit. And if you listen on demand, obviously you have the advantage of doing it to a timetable which suits you. Yeah.